Hello, welcome to this episode of TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Tommy Patterson from virtuallycloud9.com. I am the technical evangelist out of the Southeast. I serve out of the Atlanta area. And today I have this special guest, Todd Thorson. He is on today from our Microsoft IT group, and he is our network guru, you could say. He's been here for over 13 years. And Todd, let me hear a little bit from you on your past and where you've came from and how you got to where you are now, and then, you know, what you do now for Microsoft.
Sure. Yeah, it's actually been 15 years since I've been at Microsoft, and I started out in IT. We did a massive corporate network upgrade at that point, so we were busy working 70 hours a week for a couple of years there. Then I took a leave from the corporate side, and I spent about 3 years on the internet-facing side. I was the primary engineer for the Tokyo and Singapore MSN data centers. Got tired of traveling, so I came back to the IT side and have been working as an architect, putting in new technologies into the network. V6 is one example that we've done. We've done MPLS as another technology that we've introduced into our network. And so I've been heavily involved in all those things, along with the whole how do we get the access to the cloud that that keeps our users happy and keeps the performance acceptable. So that's kind of where I'm at now.
15 years. That's impressive.
It's a long time.
That's right. But it seems like a pretty good shifting. So you weren't doing the same thing the entire time. So that keeps it fun and interesting, I guess. So
you bet.
So tell me a little bit. All right, cloud's the big word now. I think that's what I talk about the most at my events now is Azure and Office 365. I've got to imagine that undertaking was extremely large and has had a huge impact on how we do things from a network perspective at Microsoft. Sounds like that's what you do. So let's hear from the expert on how did we get prepared, and, you know, what kind of impact has the cloud had on our network?
So we really had to take a step back and look at the network and the connectivity models that we use to get from the inside to the outside. So whether it's open internet, whether it's actually Azure or Office 365, we really had to take a step back and try and figure out what was the best model to get to those resources that we knew were rapidly becoming an integral part of our ecosystem. So it's kind of twofold, and we look at it from how the user gets to the cloud, whether it's the pure public cloud or a hybrid cloud. And then when you're in that hybrid cloud world, how do the applications actually talk to each other is another aspect that's just as challenging as how the users get to their services in the cloud. So those two things have really made us take a step back and say, how do we need to architect our network going forward to really bring in that whole cloud ecosystem and have that connectivity model that's robust enough to support the needs of Microsoft as a corporation.
So when you say that hybrid cloud piece, you're talking about we have servers in-house and our server farms in-house, and then we may have it burst up into the cloud side, and that's kind of the hybrid cloud scenario where you might have two different areas that you maintain, but both the same people. And yes. So you've got to talk about how that back end that's internal talks to the cloud side. Not necessarily from a customer perspective. That's the hybrid piece?
Right. Yeah, I'm talking about when we have those applications that are a mix. So the front end is in the cloud, but your database is still sitting back in your traditional data center. Right. That's a connectivity model that's, I think, a huge challenge because now the user, we've lost a lot of control of what we used to have around that bubble of an application. So we see lots of challenges in that model, but we are certainly building out to support lots of applications that can leverage a hybrid cloud in that model.
Right. I think one of the beautiful things Server 2012 did was give customers the ability to start out with a virtualization solution in-house that they could build into, say, a private cloud. Then you add on Azure, you can burst into that public cloud, maybe not use up as much resources in-house. When you talk about a scale of 100,000 employees, countless applications that we serve Microsoft internally, I just have to imagine, you know, that Server 2012 platform had to be pretty robust. Azure had to be robust, but that network side has to be very complicated, especially with a lot of the legacy systems we still are bringing over. And how does the branch office, how did it change from your perspective?
Yeah, the branch is, I think, one of the linchpins to how this architecture works, because we really had to take a step back and say, do we have those users continue to follow the traditional, buying a traditional circuit, coming back to a hub, and then going to a data center, or at that location, going out to the cloud? We've really taken a step back and looked at how close do we have to have that internet cloud edge to the users when we're out in the field. And we've taken an approach of we have, as a minimum within each region, two large interconnects between the corporate network and the cloud. And then we have sub-regional interconnects where we do the same thing at a smaller scale. So it's kind of a tiered architecture on how we're trying to deliver those cloud services to those remote employees. So it's been a mix, and obviously you have to take security into account and what their decisions have an impact on how we build out the network, because they want to be able to have visibility into some of that traffic as it's flowing in and out of the corporate network, which means we have to put security infrastructure along with, say, a firewall or something along those lines for every one of those interconnects. So we can't do it everywhere, so we had to make really smart decisions on where we place those. We call them services hubs.
Interesting. So as we are moving more and more towards that cloud scenario, how much, from a bandwidth perspective internally, are we seeing a shift where we have more bandwidth need on the internet side for that connection, or from the internal side?
Because of the nature of our business, we're always on a rapid bandwidth incline. And the cloud shifted some of that traffic pattern for us to where, prior to moving anything to Azure, or at least nothing in Office 365, for example, as we started to really move people out there, at the beginning, we only had about 3 gig worth of inbound traffic from the outside into the corporate network. Today, we're somewhere over 22 gig, and that's in about 12 to 14 months. So we saw about a tenfold increase in traffic across our edge. That was hard to keep track of and keep up with.
I imagine so.
Yeah.
Did you take a step back and just say, let's start from scratch, or could we use some of the stuff we already had?
We did take a step back, and we did. So for many years, we've used the TMG proxy for our edge solution. So that was an in-house product. It obviously couldn't scale to meet the needs that we were seeing coming with the cloud. So we are deprecating that particular set of technology, and we have moved to hardware-based firewalls and now load balancers to help us scale out that edge piece. So we've really moved away from a proxy solution to a firewall solution. And that was more or less green field, but it's certainly a complicated green field when we think about all the changes. Yeah.
So, considering that our adoption plan is the hybrid cloud, what does that mean from a network perspective? I guess if you're talking about the design of the traffic flows, to give me a little bit more detail into that and how that works.
Yeah, so it's twofold. We talked a little bit about that user edge, and that's making sure that all the users get appropriate connectivity to the cloud. That's where we've really had to scale up because of just the amount of bandwidth that's getting leverage to get to and from 365 and Azure. That's the piece that we've really focused on up till, well, continuing to focus on, but we've now started to really work on that hybrid piece to where we have that back-end connectivity, leveraging Microsoft technologies to do that. It has been the whole Golden Gate thing that is the interconnect between those two, as we call it, is where we're really starting to put some focus now so that we get that hybrid piece and we get the robust connectivity between the cloud, the public cloud, and our private cloud. So that model is still a little in flux. We've debated on whether we want to just leverage the user edge for all of that connectivity or whether we want them to be separate. Do we want the users to always go out and touch the front end of the cloud applications, or can they actually leverage this interconnect and hit it from the back end, so to speak? We're still a lot of debate going on there, but I think in the end it will be the users will hit the front end, and everything else that doesn't require front-end connectivity, server-to-server communications, those kinds of things, will continue to leverage that back-end tunnel technology that we leverage today. So does that kind of answer what you were after?
Yeah, because it seems to me that, you know, I don't think anybody in the world was ready for this massive of a shift in logic and the way we do networking. And a lot of people come to me and say, I just don't think we're ready. But when you take a look at it, most of the customers or end users are pushing us to go this route. So being ready is one thing. Okay, so we put the infrastructure in place and we've got everything working great now. How are you planning ahead?
So obviously keeping up with the bandwidth is a challenge. As I was talking about, a tenfold increase in a little over a year. So again, it's caused us to take a step back and say, we have to really scale this edge set of infrastructure, this whole ecosystem that encompasses, you know, the network stuff, the security stuff, the visibility, the manageability, all of those things. We've had to take another step back, and we're now just about ready to begin deployments on a V2 of our edge design that incorporates some other technologies to help us really scale out horizontally versus vertically, so that we can get that. Here in Puget Sound, we see so much bandwidth use. We know we really got to scale that out. We're trying to make our routing simpler. We're trying to make our V4 and V traffic very consistent, so they always follow the same path. That helps in troubleshooting, certainly, and just the whole manageability environment. And we've also found that V6 can be a huge challenge for vendors to be able to scale to meet our needs. Because Office 365 is now V6 enabled, our corporate network is V6 enabled, we saw a spike from a few hundred meg of V6 going through to 6 gig over a weekend. So that blew us up, more or less. We really had to throw some hardware at that quickly so that we could not impact the users. So we're really focused on making sure that we have the appropriate scale to meet the needs, and how do you then now get that scale as close to the end user so that they can get to the cloud as fast as they can? So we don't want somebody on the East Coast or where you are to come all the way back to the West Coast of the United States to go back to San Antonio to get to their cloud services. So we want to make sure we've got the right interconnects, and that's really where we're focused this fiscal year, is building out those interconnects, those large and the regional and sub-regional services hubs. So that's our focus this year. It has caused us to do some pretty massive backbone upgrades. We did Puget Sound last year, and now this year we're doing our international backbone. So it's going up by, in some cases, tenfold, in some cases just fivefold, but it is causing all of this cloud traffic shift is causing us to really augment our capacity on our corporate backbone so that we can support this.
So it sounds like from a Microsoft perspective, we've really amped up what we can do. But
yeah,
from a customer perspective, do they really see any of this? I mean, has the customer side, do they really know or care anything about what we've had to do? Or I guess conversely, does our feedback internally, since we eat our own dog food, get straight to the application groups, subgroups to say, hey guys, you know, maybe we could whittle down some of this bandwidth by changing the way things work and help our customers so they won't have to go to such a big, trunk or backbone?
I think the application guys are the hardest piece to get them because, you know, Microsoft IT supports a little over 2,000 applications, and lots of them were not written, probably all of them were really not written for the cloud. And it's been a challenge to get them to either rewrite or to figure out how to get them into infrastructure as a service in the cloud and make sure that that all works. That's, I think, one of the biggest challenges we have is getting the applications to become cloud aware, cloud, you know, capable. That's an ongoing conversation all the time. I think we've done a good job as an IT organization and eating that dog food and getting that feedback into the Azure product group and the Office 365 guys so that they understand what we see as an IT shop to make their products better. That's where I think we'll see some real gains as Azure gets a little more mature and we get those interconnect models really built with them, either through a carrier, through us, through privately. All of those things are going to come into play.
Great. So, Todd, I really appreciate you coming on today. I think, you know, it helps our customers to know that we are doing these things proactively so that we know things are going to work for them as they join up in our cloud solutions. So anything else you want to say or any shout-outs for your group, this would be the time to do it.
Yep.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Good. Yeah, it's I have to say this is, I think, one of the biggest changes that I've seen in my networking career is where we are right now. So it's super exciting. Anybody who listens to this that hasn't started really thinking about the cloud, time to open that door, really start looking at it, start working on it, because you can never start too early, I think, because it's coming, and we've certainly embraced it as an IT organization and as a company, as I'm sure you're all aware. And I think it is the direction as an industry that we're headed, and certainly jump on the bandwagon, because it's going to be a fun trip. It's, you know, we'll blow some stuff up along the way, but that happens, but we're going to learn. So. That's all I can say is, please join the fray.
Great. It's been a great show today, Todd. Thanks for being on the show. Folks, virtuallycloud9.com. If you're looking for any lab guides or getting started with Windows Azure, that's a good place to start. As also aka.ms/early expert. So if you're looking for working on your certifications, we've got some Azure Cloud Camps and lab guides there as well. Again, thanks, Todd, and that's a wrap.
Great, thank you.